Why would people who suffer most from industrial pollution vote against environmental regulations designed to protect them? This question drove sociologist Arlie Russell Hochschild to spend 5 years immersed in Louisiana's Bayou Country, listening to the stories of Tea Party supporters whose communities bear the toxic burden of America's petrochemical industry. What she discovered wasn't a simple case of people voting against their interests, but a complex emotional landscape where identity, honor, and belonging trump material concerns. Louisiana presents the perfect laboratory for this investigation, a state ranking near the bottom in health outcomes, education, and environmental quality, yet increasingly voting for politicians who oppose federal assistance and environmental regulation. Through intimate conversations with people like Mike Schaff, who lost his home to an industrial disaster yet opposes government oversight, Hochschild uncovers how emotional self-interest often outweighs economic self-interest in shaping political views. The divide runs deeper than policy disagreements. By 2010, 40% of Republicans and 33% of Democrats reported they'd be disturbed if their child married someone from the opposite political party, up from just 5% in 1960. We've built invisible empathy walls that prevent understanding across political lines. Breaking through these barriers requires temporarily setting aside our own perspectives to see the world through others' eyes. Lee Sherman welcomes me into his home, displaying photos from his football and NASCAR racing days. Though now using a walker, his pride remains strong. His story turns grim when describing his time at Pittsburgh Plate Glass, where he dumped toxic waste into Louisiana's marshlands. Birds would literally drop from the sky, he recalls, as chemical vapors killed wildlife instantly. After witnessing thousands of dead fish in Bayou Dined, Lee confronted company officials, climbing on stage with a sign, "I'm the one who dumped it in the bayou." Yet surprisingly, Lee now supports candidates pushing to reduce EPA's power. Despite suffering severe chemical burns that left permanent scars, his strongest criticism targets government oversight. While acknowledging corporations need oversight, he rejects government regulation. This paradox stems from deep ties to industry. Companies provided not just jobs, but identity and community. The government represents an unwelcome outsider taking their money without clear benefits. When choosing between industrial freedom and environmental protection, they favor industry, even at their own expense. Harold Arino shares photos of his family's self-sufficient life along Bayou Dind in the 1950s. Majestic cypress trees, living 600 years and reaching 100 feet, dominated the landscape. His French-speaking mother cooked for 12 on a wooden stove and lived waste-free. Today, Harold's yard faces a graveyard of dead cypress trunks. The once pristine bayou, now downstream from industry, has turned toxic. The toll has been severe. His father's livestock died from the water, while cancer claimed his brother-in-law, sister, and mother. Only his father, who never worked in the plants, survived. Yet the Arinos vote Republican, favoring candidates who champion biblical values over environmental protection. Like many, they're caught between cherishing their wilderness memories while depending on the industries that destroyed it. They find comfort in their Christian faith, believing God will restore the earth. Though they've sued 22 companies, their case stalls. Corporations often delay until plaintiffs die. Still, Harold prioritizes opposing abortion over environmental protection, citing long-term thinking. Hochschild uncovered a deep story, a feels-as-if narrative that resonated with her Tea Party respondents. It depicts people waiting in line for the American dream, with white, older, Christian, predominantly male Americans in the middle, and people of color, the poor, women, and immigrants behind them. Despite years of hard work, the line barely moves. Then others seem to cut ahead through affirmative action, government assistance, and special preferences. Obama's presidency, women entering traditionally male jobs, public worker benefits, and immigrants accepting lower wages all challenge their worldview. This perceived betrayal, government helping others while ignoring their struggles, leaves them feeling like strangers in their own land. the story reflects real economic pressure. While the bottom 90% have seen stagnant income since 1950, expanded opportunities for minorities and women intensified competition for diminishing cultural status.
"You can tell I'm a Republican," Janice Areno says, pointing to her elephant figurines. Direct and humorous, she speaks candidly about her political frustrations. One of six children, Janice grew up poor but happy. Her 48-year work history without government assistance shapes her core belief. Welfare recipients should work for benefits, whether mowing churchyards, folding clothes at care centers, or cleaning school bathrooms. For her, hard work defines honor. Despite four toxic waste landfills near her sulfur home, Janice views industrial pollution as necessary. They make what we need: plastic soda bottles, rubber-soled shoes, toothpaste. Even when her nephew's Palomino died from chemical exposure at a Firestone plant, her support for industry didn't waver. Her allegiance to capitalism, represented by Louisiana's petrochemical plants, stems from the miracle of her father's wage and her own. Though her sister battles chemical exposure-related illness, Janice accepts such consequences as the price of economic progress. Jackie Tabor, a Trinity Baptist Church member, acknowledges Lake Charles's pollution while supporting industry, a paradox rooted in her challenging childhood with an alcoholic father and later expulsion by her stepfather at 19. After a period of personal struggles, Jackie's spiritual transformation established a pattern of renunciation and reward. When her husband, Heath, committed to increased church tithing, their sacrifice was rewarded through post-Hurricane Rita construction work that cleared their debts. Jackie applies this sacrificial mindset to environmental concerns. Though troubled by pollution and her son's friend's death from a rare cancer potentially linked to chemical exposure, she avoids confronting these issues with friends employed by the plants. She views pollution as the sacrifice we make for capitalism, rejecting government intervention. This exchange of environmental damage for economic benefit mirrors the Tea Party movement's philosophy, a modern echo of plantation culture where oil has replaced cotton. The human cost of environmental degradation is stark. Harold and Annette Areno fought polluters in court for 20 years before their case was dismissed, leaving them with an unsellable, contaminated home. Harold, in his 80s, reflected on lost cypress trees. "When gravity leaves our feet and we rise up, they say there are beautiful trees in heaven." A paradox emerges. Republican states face higher industrial pollution, yet often oppose environmental protections. Residents understand pollution's dangers, but prioritize economic survival over regulation, distrusting government intervention. Blue state knowledge economies need red state energy production, while red states benefit from blue state innovation. Progress requires understanding both sides' emotional narratives and shared desires, dignity, meaningful work, and a clean environment for future generations. Bridging this empathy divide is key to protecting both our environment and communities.